The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Coulomb's force law can be the basis for estimating the net charge on an object. Conservation of charge and Gauss's law are also the basis for the measurement of charge. Coulomb's force law states that a particle or object carrying a net charge Q2 in an electric field due to a second charge Q1 experiences a force proportional to the product of the charges and inversely proportional to the square of the distance r between. Charges of the same polarity repel. In this demonstration, the particles are air-filled balloons of the variety used at parties. They can be charged by rubbing them with a dry cloth. They repel each other because they've been charged to the same polarity. Let's use measurements of the separation distance and the weight of the balloon to approximate the charge that's been left on one of the balloons. The threads that have been used to suspend them are tied at a common point. We can measure the vertical distance L between the height of the balloons and the point where the threads are tied. We can also measure the distance R between the balloons. The balloons are not all that small compared to these distances. However, for the purpose of estimating the charge, we'll represent them as point charges and point masses. There are three forces acting on the right balloon: the downward vertical force of gravity, the balloon mass times the acceleration of gravity g, the horizontal Coulomb force of repulsion, and the tension supplied by the thread. To have the tension of the thread balance the gravitational and electric forces, the ratio of the Coulomb force to the gravitational force must be equal to the ratio of half the distance between the balloons, r over 2, to the vertical distance from the balloon to where the thread is tied. If we assume that the balloons are equally charged, we can express the Coulomb force in terms of the spacing between balloons, r, and the desired charge, q. This expression can be solved for Q as a function of the quantities that we can measure. Having measured the balloon mass M, the spacing R, and the height L, we can deduce Q. First, we weigh a typical balloon. The mass M of this balloon is 0.73 grams. In MKS units. The gravitational acceleration is 9.8 meters per second squared. The spacing between balloon centers is about 50 centimeters. It's not possible to put the meter stick close to the balloons without their being attracted to Professor Zahn. His body's a good conductor. The charges on the balloons induce image charges of opposite polarity on conducting surfaces to which they're attracted. The height L is roughly 1 meter. Finally, the permittivity of free space is 8.85 times 10 to the minus 12 farads per meter. Evaluation gives a charge Q of about 220 nanocoulombs. Conservation of charge and Gauss's law can also be used to deduce the charge on the balloons. This will be done by putting the balloon inside a conducting enclosure and measuring the charge induced on the enclosure. Note that this induced charge is opposite in sign to that of the balloon. This image charge is just that responsible for attracting the balloons to any essentially grounded conductor in its vicinity. By making this metal enclosure, which is called a Faraday cage, enclose the charge, we make all of the field lines from the balloon charge terminate on the surrounding walls. The Faraday cage is insulated from a surrounding grounded shield and itself connected to ground through the low impedance of an integrator. The shield is necessary to prevent field lines from outside charges terminating on the cage, such as from Professor Zahn's having walked on the carpet. Because the enclosure is itself essentially grounded, there is little electric field between it and its shield. The integral form of charge conservation shows how the charge induced on the Faraday cage is related to the current I to the integrator. The surface S encloses the cage completely and cuts through the wire. The only contribution to the integral of the current density is where the wire passes through the surface and is the current I. Because the charge on the outside of the Faraday cage is zero, the net charge in the volume V enclosed by this surface is the negative of that brought inside the cage as the balloon is introduced. Thus, the current through the wire is the time rate of change of the charge introduced into the enclosure with the balloon. If the balloon is finally completely enclosed by the cage, then the final value of this charge is just that on the balloon. This is true even if the balloon makes no electrical contact with the Faraday cage. The integrator is made from an operational amplifier, and the integrated signal could be displayed on an oscilloscope. Instead, we'll use an integrating electrometer in Coulomb measurement mode. It's designed to display the charge that would account for the integral of the current into its input. The shapes of the Faraday cage and grounded shield do not matter. In our experiment, the Faraday cage is a waste paper basket-sized rectangular aluminum box, and the surrounding shield is a metal screen. By now, one of our balloons is broken. But with new balloons and a renewed charge, the spacing looks to be about what we had before. Here's what happens when we insert the balloon in the Faraday cage. Watch the meter, too. Our charge conservation statement can be used to see that it makes no difference to the measurement whether the balloon makes physical and electrical contact with the inner box. From the dial settings on the top scale, a full-scale deflection is a charge of minus 1,000 nanocoulombs. The measured charge is 220 or 30 nanocoulombs. Let's see what we get for the other balloon. The reading's about the same, about 220 nanocoulombs. Remember, from our force experiment, we estimated 220 nanocoulombs. Of course, given the informality of our experiments, this agreement is somewhat fortuitous. Both the electromechanical and Faraday cage measurements that we have illustrated can be made very precise. Here, we've illustrated how Coulomb's force law, the law of charge conservation, and Gauss's law can also be used to make rough estimates. When the balloon is removed, the meter reading almost goes back to zero. Apparently, the charge is essentially removed with the balloon. What happens to the charge on the balloon if it's broken while in the Faraday cage and then removed? We've used scotch tape to hold the balloon together. Professor Zahn feels that most of the balloon was removed. The charge was not.